All right, so second women's circle, and the topic in our elemental evolution is that we're going to be working with the element of water this time. So in the progression of what we're doing is looking at a journey of inquiry to be able to perceive ourselves through the elements, and the journey through the year will take us through, you know, the physical, our physical incarnation and how we meet the elements in that way through our life, our living of life in our physical incarnation. And then the second part of the journey in the year will again be working with the elements, but looking at it more through the lens of our spiritual journey and how we can work with elemental energies at that level. So just looking at two different levels. So last circle, we were looking at the element of fire. And in the way that we perceive how they work with us, particularly at a level of physical incarnation, is that typically our growth comes through contrast. Or you might say that our growth comes through the polarity. And that the journey of growth is in the experiencing of the polarity, finding within that, you know, the information of our own inner self, so we learn about ourselves, how we are within that polarity. And ideally, once we get a good picture of how we relate to it, we're able to actually bring it to balance. And balance usually comes through being able to perceive that polarity and come to a higher point where you actually, oh, I can actually see all of that. And this, the difference is that in this higher perception, once you've had the experience of the polarity, you move into a point where you can choose. And then when you're experiencing yourself somewhere on that polarity, you now have the wisdom of the lived experience or the learned experience to go, oh, I'm here. I'm really finding this is not so useful. You know, it's in my, you know, self-assessment on, is it working for me or is it not? You know, usually when it gets to a bit of an extreme, usually there's some limitation. And that the knowledge of how to bring it back towards center, how to bring it back to a more balanced pathway in the use of the element, usually is an easier progressive pathway because you're not spending so much energy going out in the polarity. More of your energy is in choosing, which is what gives you the lift. So you're able to actually evolve and integrate that learning more readily. And so really this is how we're looking at this part of the journey, is in understanding that, of course, the elemental forces are within everything. They are the structure, the fabric of this world of form. Is absolutely made up of elemental forces, and within our own being we are made up of elemental forces. And often, you know, the question comes of, you know, or what about my astrology? You know, I'm a water sign or I'm an air sign. Well, sure, you probably find you have more pronesses in how you've expressed them, but absolutely all the elements are still players. And sometimes in looking at where you have not developed some aspects of yourself can also give you good information of something else to actually explore. And so this is kind of a journey of inner inquiry. So with that little prelude, I've given everyone a little glass of water. What can you tell me, first of all, this is nothing to do with you specifically, but what can you tell me about water? So if you're observing water and you had to go, what is a characteristic of water or something that you know about water, what would you say?
Does it take the path of least resistance?
Yep, so a path of least resistance, so it's kind of like it likes to flow. So we could say, yep. You know, water likes to flow, and when it meets something, it'll even just go around it. Yeah.
So it's clear.
It's clear.
See-through,
softens. Liquid, yep.
Water has great power.
Yeah.
Like Grand Canyons and
it does.
Great rock.
It does. When there's a lot of water, there's a lot of, definitely a lot of power to it.
It has variants of temperature.
Yes. No, that's so temperature.
You take lots of different forms as well.
Yeah, like ice.
Temperature, forms, which actually relates to temperature, because when, obviously, it's frozen, you know, it's ice. Mm-hmm. When it's, you know, it's hot, it can go to steam.
It's purifying.
Purifying. Yep.
It sticks together.
Yes.
All the particles are.
So that it's connective.
You know, the whole, what's his name? The Japanese guy. That
Emoto.
Yeah, so.
Matsuri, yeah.
It's a carrier of.
It carries memory.
Yeah. You can program water.
Yeah, you can program it. Because it holds. So it's got this holding capacity. It can also dissolve things. What else can you think of about water? How do we need water?
Grows things.
It does. We need it for life. Water is all about helps the things grow, and it's about life. Makes things live. It is a part of us, yeah, it's within our, within our body.
Yeah.
You know, our body fluids. We are absolutely a very fluid kind of being, a high percentage of water within our being.
We like to drink it.
Absolutely, well, we need it for life, don't we? You know, it's like
it sustains
life, it's important for life. Often gets related to our emotions. And often gets related to being an element of the feminine.
And like in the tarot deck, it's like emotions, right?
Yes.
It raises vibration.
It can raise vibration, particularly depending on what is in the water. Because if it is charged, then absolutely it can. So it's depending on what the water holds.
Right.
Because it can equally lower vibration if it's full of pollution and crap. Yes. So it depends on absolutely, you know, what it holds, what its program, what its memory is, for sure. And in this same way, you know, some waters are healing because they hold a high vibration. So the healing waters, you know, are something that we often...
It can also be very destructive.
It is, that's right, because it has the power to be destructive.
It gets in, like it...
penetrates or can soak into things.
Well, in the sense that you know, you can have a or gets out as well. You can have a container that you think is perfectly sealed and you put water in and it just leaks out somewhere.
Yeah, and this
and
is
you thought it was
its ability to change form, you know, if there's a little hole, it'll just, you know, its form will just go through that hole for
it's
sure.
A cycle too.
Sorry?
The water cycle on Earth.
Yes. Yeah. It's got that whole sense of cycle for sure. Yeah, so they've got this sense of, again, it moves. You know, water has a capacity for movement. You know, as opposed to, like, you know, rocks.
It has, and
even within its connectivity, its capacity to carry energy is, you know, it's quite probably the best of all the elements, because, you know, if you plug electricity into water, it'll move in this way. Okay, all right. my sheet of paper. Put this one over here. So then I'll put this over here. Generally refer to it as we need to.
This memory just came to mind. I thought I shared. I hope it's okay, but I experienced someone who did dry fasting for a week.
Mm-hmm.
That means no water.
Yeah.
And just being around this person, I was like, I just wanted to give him water. I could feel it, maybe because I'm so empathic. How that he was just needing
crying water. Out for water. Wow.
And he was so weak.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a huge stress on the body, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, a week is a long time.
That's a long time without yeah. water. Wow.
Did he eat?
Nothing.
No,
no,
no
dry fasting.
Nothing. No shower, no beach, nothing, no water.
He could have killed himself.
Wow.
So, I especially mean, I think it's good for them.
The poor old kidneys will
for a week. Yeah. I mean it actually activates the kidneys after a few days, but a week is a long time to do that for.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's a
yeah, it was intense.
All right, so what we're going to look at here is now looking at the polarities of water and in how they relate to us. So being able to use these aspects to bring, you know, what really is like natural analogy to get inside it. So, you know, here, you know, this is the downward pointing triangle. You know, that is the alchemical symbol for water. So it's a symbol of reception, yeah? Last time we did the fire, which is the upward pointing triangle. So in essence, you know, it initially already says about water that it's a receptive type of element. So let's looking at flow. So, you know, what comes up initially is that when we look at this side, which is going to be like, you know, when things are on the underside of the polarity compared to this one is where it's like on the over side of the polarity. So with flow, you know, lack of flow, you know, we're talking about, you know, it's stagnant. Whereas overflow, you know, we're probably talking about flood in some way. So in how we might bring this to our within ourselves. So also with in stagnant, we could say that it's there's no life. Like when the pool of water goes stagnant, it can't sustain life anymore. And what's interesting is part of what makes water stagnant is it has no oxygen. It loses its.
Mozzies like it. I reckon there's some stagnant water around here somewhere.
With all the with the shower of rain, they birth out of the. They actually birth out of the plants, not actually out of the water. The water's part of their reproductive part, but their dormancy is the fact that they're in all the plants. But as soon as you get moist activation, they will birth,
and
which of course, what's happened in the last week. But it's interesting because oxygen is, of course, this is air. So the element is when there is no air in water, there's no life in it. On the other side, you know, flood, here we're looking at it being water as a destruction. All right. So in the flow, they say that when things are, when we're working with flow, the most useful point of flow is where we can keep our flow, and particularly if we're talking about emotions, which is very much related with water, is keeping our flow within what they call the window of tolerance. And that, you know, when we are having when emotion, and even the word emotion gives you the clue, because it's E for energy in motion. So working with emotions, in that this watery aspect of ourself, is, you know, to keep it flowing, to keep it moving. When we shut it down, when it gets stagnant and stuck, you know, just like water, stagnant water eventually becomes, toxic, poisonous indeed. And when we look at, you know, when our emotions get stuck, when they get bottled up, where they no longer can be expressed, then there's a container of lack of flow, which can become quite toxic to the energy field, because there's just no expression. And typically this can be a little bit like a volcano state until it gets triggered, and then, you know, what comes forth then is the flood, which is equally too much then, because it's had no flow and it's all bottled up and you've got a lot of pressure. And so then you get a flood of emotion, which can be quite traumatic and destructive to both you and whoever's in the way of it. So you've got, you know, both these ends of the bar.
I've also known lots of people who never explode either. They just, it just stays stagnant within them.
There can be other ways that they're moving the energy of it. Because sometimes you can have the emotion not expressed, but you can move the energy of it in other ways, like moving the body.
Mm.
So these people can actually often be quite enjoy running, yeah, or going to the gym, or, you know, these things. So there's other ways of expressing the energy other than showing emotion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Strategies for when there is stagnant, when there is no life, where there is no oxygen. And in some ways, the aspect of no oxygen, because oxygen is a type of air, and air is to do with the mind, the mentality. So when things are very stagnant, sometimes by introducing a breath of fresh air, can be a new way of looking at something, a new idea, a reframing, you know, where you bring the idea of the mind to bring a fresh perspective on where the emotions are at, can be a way of moving things. But, you know, ideally what you're wanting in a stagnant pool is you want movement.
Breath work.
Perfect, yes. Anything that moves it. So, you know, either physically, which is like physically moving the body, yep, breath, breathing it, breath work, it's fabulous. Sound, yep, you know, sound is a wonderful way of moving energy, whether it's singing that you're doing, or whether you're in a sound bath, or a sound healing, because of course, what is sound but moving energy, yeah? And so when that moving energy meets you, it moves the energy in you. And so these kind of things, anything that creates movement can be beneficial when things are stuck. So finding a way to get it moving. Any of those kind of things. So movement helps stuckness, and so does, new oxygen. So new ideas. Bringing that breath of fresh air to the stagnancy can be another way of getting it to move, because that's really you've got no movement, so you want movement. On the other side, where we've got flood and destruction, what do we want to do about the flood? What can we do about the flood? Where we really have too much. Yeah, so we basically want the idea is we need to be able to dissipate the energy in some way. So, you know, we need to find a way to, you know, offload the energy. So how would you offload the energy? If there's too much and it's just pouring through you, what could you do to offload the energy?
Have a big cry.
A big cry is an excellent way to offload the energy.
breathe again, breath.
Breath work is another good way to add that energy.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah, you could move it to be able to use the energy in that way. You can also do things like, you know, go to the ocean where you've got salty water, or have a salt, you know, magnesium bath can be another way to actually very quickly dissipate energy that's, you know, zinging in your nervous system because you're just so full of it. So these kind, you know, even going to nature, taking your shoes off and walking on wet grass, it actually pulls energy out of your body, that kind of thing. Or, you know, taking your shoes off and walking on the beach, it does the same kind of thing, because you exhaust a lot of energy out through your feet, particularly when you're connected to a wet surface of some sort.
Like a salt-in foot bath.
A foot bath, perfect, yeah, that kind of thing. These are can be quick remedies to offload excess energy in this way.
Oh, can I just add, for those who are in a building and can't go and do the beach or the forest, a lady told me a beautiful thing for if you're at work and you just need to get rid of it. She used to go into the toilet and silent scream it all down the toilet because she couldn't yell at anyone. She was the boss. So she was like, I can't vent it on the troops. That's not going to work. So she said she used to do that and get rid of it. And then she'd be like, okay.
Released. Yeah. Some people do the same thing at the ocean. Go for a swim and scream under the water. You know.
Tapping, tap the body.
Yes. Yeah. Things like that. Yeah. Again, that on release points, tapping is a great idea. So you've got offloading. You've also then got distraction. Distraction can be really useful when you get caught, because often when you're in a flood, the difficulty is that you get so caught in the flood that you start to re-traumatize yourself because you can't get out of the cycle, because you know you're so in it, and then you're it's terrible because you're in it, and then that feeds more to the story that I'm in it and it's so terrible because I'm in it, and you know it just builds in this way. So other than offloading, because you might be able to offload, but it's no good if you're just still putting it back in again, is seeking distraction at that point and finding a way to distract yourself. And, you know, it can be things just like, you know, go to the movies, or put on some music. You know,
come to a women's group
is a great, yeah. go to an activity where there's something else happening, you know, where you can be distracted out of your cyclic thoughts. So distraction. Exactly. Yes. Be with others that are doing something else, you know, do something creative and just try and work it through. These kind of something to take the mind in a different direction so that you don't keep, you get yourself off the cycle.
Lots of the population do drugs, sex and alcohol, don't they?
Well, that's true. It's a choice for sure. This is a level of escapism as a possibility to just put them into a different mindset. All right. Obviously, here, you know, when you've come out of it, and of course this is really for anything within the imbalances, is because the balancer to emotion, you know, is reasoning, it's mind. You know, when the emotion is out of balance, then eventually you need to be able to bring new thought, new reasoning, new perception to balance up. So this is like the balance between you know, the head and the heart. And if this is kind of just gone off into unbalance, then being able to reason it back in. But usually you need to do these things first. You need to actually deal with the flow first and manage that. But once it's starting to taper off and you can feel that it's lessening, in order to get the learning of it so that you don't have to go into being re-traumatized by it again and again, that capacity to then go, wow, okay, what happened? What triggered me? What did I learn from it? Is there something I'd do differently next time? This kind of reasoning is always like the after process, once you've come off that, because it brings in, again, the balance of the air.
I saw a kinesiologist and she gave me little tools, like even just you know, rubbing yourself like this.
Yeah.
And it brings you instantly into your body. And even doing the eye movement.
Yeah.
Just release.
It is to release, to ground, you know, to be able to allow it to go. And that is always your first thing is to manage the flow, because your first rule of thumb in flow is to manage the flow within the window of tolerance, what you can manage. Yeah. If it's gone over that, then your first action is to manage the flow, and that means release. Yeah, offload some of that energy somehow. Finding a way to move it, release it, let it go. Yeah, tapping, all of these kind of things, ground it. You know, again, grounding, again, allows it to actually flow through you and out of you. It's just when it's all caught up in the cycle, that's when it's difficult to actually do anything with it, because you're just, it's got you.
It's so funny, I haven't even thought about it, but lately I've been putting, like, have a little foot rub of salt just in the bathroom because my feet have been so hot. But now I'm like, that's actually helping me in other ways too, yeah.
Yeah, it is for sure.
I think healthy ways of actually expressing it, though, I think is probably the most beneficial way to get the answers to the question.
And absolutely,
especially rage, like, and rage is one that's seems to be very prevalent, and particularly for men there's a lot of rage but not a lot of healthy ways that they can, you know, so things like having a bat and bashing a bed if you're feeling rage, actually doing something active about that rather than having foot baths or going to the ocean. I mean, yes, it shifts it, but actually expressing it.
Exactly. So to offload it, you know, often, you're right, often this offload needs to be an action.
Yeah.
You know, as they say, you know, when you've got anger, you know, it can be finding a way of expressing it that's not damaging to you and others. But, you know,
the destruction then ends up being of
exactly,
yourself,
or
right?
to those or who are others. In the fallout zone. Yeah. And so, yes, going and having a run or chopping wood or, you know, having the punching bag or, you know, whatever it might be, going to the gym. These can be useful ways to actually manage the energy. But I think the other thing there that was touching on too, sometimes the opportunity to safely vent it in some way, to speak it out, because we often feel a diffusion when we can move it from it all being in here and just to actually when we can speak it to someone. Particularly if there's someone who can simply hold space for you, that, you know, it's not going to be offended or damaged by the fact that, you know, you just really need to get this off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And to have, you know, people in your life that you can go to and actually go, look, I just really need to speak this out. Mm-hmm. And because, again, even in that, that actually helps in a lot of the ways for the reasoning. Because often when you come to speak it out, you'll actually start to understand it more because you process it in order to speak it. And that processing helps diffuse it and also reveal within it what it is that you've got to learn out of it.
And if you don't have someone, or you don't feel comfortable, you can voice record it even, or journal.
Yes, that's a great that. Mm. So journaling. So if you can't speak it physically, to write it out, paint it out, dance it out. You know, any of these kind of any creative process gives flow, and so the. Using up the energy of it is to flow it.
And the most beautiful art is created through all the, you know, people expressing their pain.
Yes, yeah. Yes, this is so true.
Yeah.
Very beautiful art, music, you know, are very much a result of this. And people can relate to it because they look at it and it touches them. There's so much emotion coded in it that people can feel it and it affects them. Yeah.
I found too, when I'd run out of thoughts that, you know, I couldn't reason. I didn't have the words to reason, and I felt like I was just going round and round and round and round. And I recently actually found that just asking the questions, can you just help me through oracle cards, and that has given me another language to look at it maybe from another angle or something, but it's actually, I felt it shift in my heart.
Yes, and I think that's another really good tool, because in the essence, you're asking to, you know, for inspiration. So you're asking really to your higher self, you know, the guides, whatever it is, you know, you're calling in your bigger team to give you insight, because yeah, for sure, for a lot of the time we don't have a clue of what's going on. It's like, okay, can you help me here? And you know, asking for that, you know, and using tools, your divination tools like cards or whatever, you know, there's a whole range of things that you could do there. But certainly moving out of your limited view and opening for some from more information to come in is a great thing.
You can also use oils, like, depending, oils can be really powerful.
They can, yeah. Again, because, you know, they hold frequencies within them, and they have healing properties and medicines of the plants and things that they've come from. Brings
homeopathics,
yeah,
all the tools,
there are so many for sure. Yeah, these are all good things. Okay, let's look at this.
I do feel with oils and other things that hold medicine within them, I do feel it might be good at some in some incidences to have some support, because I don't know, I just had this flash of information. So if you really release it then through that oil, where do you go there? Because there was a flood before, and then it totally blows your mind.
Yeah, so that's another good thing.
It's just, saying that because Zen for me is something really powerful, or can be something really powerful, and it can call in more memories.
Yes, that's right.
Might be overwhelming.
And it's a bit like, you know, having a safe space or a person who can hold space for you is always a safer circumstance if you can manage that, you know, whether it to be someone to speak out or someone to help you through the healing journey. You know, obviously, if it's a big trauma that you're meeting, then having people that can help you is always going to be beneficial, because this makes a safer circumstance, and you can be more relaxed in some ways in the letting go, because you're held through it, and this always is going to be beneficial.
The music's very powerful.
Sound, absolutely. Yeah. Sound, particularly with emotion and with energy in this way, because emotions are meant to move, and the very thing that sound does is it moves energy. So they're very compatible. Sound work with emotions is very much a marriage. Yeah.
I've been putting on it sounds funny, but it's called The Last Samurai Village in No Ads. But it's this really amazing, and it's got rain as well, and it just goes for 10 hours, and I've got it on the background. I love it.
Excellent.
You know, when you hear rain, it's so warm.
Yeah.
And the music.
Yeah, sound I find is a very good tool for changing state.
And I mean, even babies, the white noise, you know, when they get upset, they're like, is that the sound of the uterus, isn't it?
Well, in Bali, they play the music during dinner time. It's like to take you out of your emotions and your mental state. So, yeah, it's repetitive, but
it's good. Okay, let's look at what really is temperature. Where we would go with, okay, warm, cold, and hot. So here, you know, we're obviously looking towards ice, and here we're looking towards steam. And so, you know, one of my old teachers would say that, you know, emotions should be are great when they're, warm, fresh, and flowing. So there's a warmth to them, there's a freshness because there's lots of new energy that's coming through it, and flowing because they're moving. This is the emotional state to aim for. So when things get very cold, when the emotions get cold, you know, we often have words for it, like, you know, the cold shoulder, or, you know, that's a cold person. So we tend to say that, you know, that there's not a lot of empathy or not a lot of connection. The emotions, again, are very like, a bit like stagnant, where they get stuck or frozen. And we can even feel a state in ourselves when, you know, there can be events that happen to us that make us feel frozen, where we can't even feel our own emotions because we're so stuck in it that we get frozen, which gives us a clue to the action, because we're needing actions that cause melting. And because obviously we need to move it so that they can start to get warmed up again and start to get flowing. When they're really frozen and stuck, then we need actions. And Jenna was reminding me of one that she did in HeartMath for when things are frozen.
When they were doing a workshop on kindness, self-kindness, and at a time when I was actually trying to work with how do I, you know, if you feel unloved, the answer is because you're not loving yourself. You know, that is actually the truth of it. It's not because somebody else isn't giving you love, because that's not where we get it from. But they were like, even the simple action, if you can't reach for more, just put your hand on your heart, because immediately you feel nurtured without even a thought or any other thing happening. Just by that physical action, you feel much more nurtured than you did without it. So they said, start with that. You know, that's just a little thing. If you can't reach any further, just do that. And, you know, you can add breath work with, you know, I love myself, or whatever you want to add as a thought. But even just that thing. And I've found that in moments when I was like, oh, I feel really unloved in this moment. And then I was like, oh, that's because I'm not actually looking to myself, self-care. And so I did consistently just do that every time I had that feeling. And, you know, gradually it actually built up to something more significant over time, just by doing it.
Yeah, so I'm melting really through an action of self-love.
Like self-care through like sauna or ice bath. And that's really big, like a lot of men these days, because of Wim Hof.
Yep.
Doing ice bath, and that's huge, and breath work.
Yep.
And I think his wife committed suicide, and that is his story. That's how he coped.
Yep.
So if that's a medic, huge awareness now how this can help, which is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're looking at practices for melting.
Mm-hmm.
So practices to help to regain the flow. So, yeah, any kind of self-nurture, self-care, self-love, and, you know, starting off simply with things of, yeah, just hugging yourself if you need to, just placing that hand on your heart. You know, obviously you can progress with that by giving yourself little mantras to say that, you know, again, of self-kindness to that. And with the idea also that, you know, obviously we're a liquid being, you know, we have the blood flow, the lymph flow, you know, all of this moving through us. But, and particularly blood, because blood holds iron. Iron is able to be charged. It's magnetic in its nature. And so programming our blood is like creating a blood print, as they say. You print the blood. And that's why, you know, the technology of affirmations that are repeated. But, you know, putting your hand there and imagining that you're sending energy, you know, into your heart of care or kindness or, you know, a loving thought. Again, part of what you're actually doing is you're energetically printing the circuitry, and particularly over the heart, because of course all the blood goes through the heart. And so holding it there while the blood is moving through your body is that this in some ways is a way of programming the water, but you're actually programming your own waters in this way. But, you know, mantras and things like that work in the same way.
Can I ask, I hope this relates,
mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking this for a while, is that I know from my own experience that these things do work. And so then you might think, well, the opposite happens as well. If you are bad to yourself, not necessarily physically, but self-recriminating thoughts and all of those things. But then I think, well, that mustn't have as much of a sway, because I'd be dead by now.
you know, for a long time I barely thought a single good thing about myself.
Yes. And this is the difference between the power within thought and emotion. You know, luckily you can have lots of thoughts, and thoughts bring a focus for direction. Yeah. Where thoughts become more potent in their ability to affect you is when there is, depending on the amount of emotion that is attached to the thought. So, you know, there's a difference between just, you know, thoughts of, oh, you know, I'm useless at that, or, you know, for sure, these are not useful thoughts, you know, they're negative thoughts. But if there is a thought where there is a feeling of passionate hatred for yourself, a very destructive, powerful energy of emotion that is destructive to self, this will be much more affecting to the body, certainly in terms of wellness, that it is, because thought directs, but it's the emotion that powers it. And this is why managing emotion, having mastery of your emotions, is a really important tool in any kind of self-growth, because not using your emotions in a way that damages you and others, and also understanding it's a power source within your body that's also expendable. This is why when you have a lot of what you call lower emotion, in other words, emotion that is not uplifting, it's the opposite, you get really tired afterwards. When you do that, you feel exhausted because it uses a lot of power. Yeah, it takes, it drains the body. And so also if you do it too much, it's why you can feel depressed, because indeed the ions in your field lessen and your quotient of energy, your life force energy, you can actually have it measured by a biofeedback machine, and you can see how much you lose when you have a big emotional outburst, that it burns up your life force energy. You can regenerate it with a good sleep and looking after yourself, but if you can imagine you're doing that day after day after day, and you can see why people suicide, where they get so low that there's no wish for life left in them because the life force is burnt out of them.
And then watching movies that bring you down, you know.
That's right. And it's you know, it's an important thing to get your head around, and that there's no problem in having shitty emotions and having, you know, rage or yelling or things. The problem is if you stay there. You need strategies that once that wave has passed, how do you bring yourself back up? How do you let it go? How do you heal it? How do you release it? How do you rationalize it? How do you reframe it? How do you reason it? You know, these tools that then you bring you back to balance, no problem, because fine, you dip down, you just come back up again. It's when you dip down and then you stay down there. That's where it's really reaping to the self. And you do a lot of damage.
But not only that, it can spread. I feel like the energy, if you're highly empathic, you can feel it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So you just like someone who's got high energy also can bring everyone up in the
correct.
Same.
In the
someone's
same way.
Someone's really low, you're like, I'm not feeling that great. What's going on?
The flip side of that I was exploring a few months back is that in order to experience real joy, you actually have to have a strong adrenal system and a strong core. And if you don't have that, it's actually really quite difficult to experience and hold a higher level of joy and happiness, which kind of makes, so sort of people sort of sit in this middle ground of not experiencing that joy and happiness on a, and it's not about having it all the time because that's not realistic, but you know, to have it more than perhaps the other, you have to have a strong body, you have to have a strong adrenal system in order to generate that and to hold that.
Certainly, yes, I can understand that. I think in all of this, it's to do with flow. And I find that sometimes we hold restrictions, even to, like, you know, for example, in this case for joy, there may be programs within us that don't think we're worthy of joy, which will cause a restriction of flow, or, you know, different, you know, ways that we have maybe been, you know, told about, you know, you just laughing like a jackass, you know, don't be so silly, or, you know, subtle things. Because in truth, higher emotions, as long as they, again, you're not bottling them up. When you bottle them up in some ways, whether they're higher or lower and there's no flow, it doesn't matter which end of the bar you're on, you're going to have a problem. Where there is flow, my experience of joy, where joy just flows and it flows through you and from you in everything, it is the most healing elixir there is in life, and it is an endless stream. And I don't find in those situations that it necessarily brings a toll. I find things, if they're creating a toll, is because there is a block of some sort, because it's if it builds up, and like in the adrenals and things like that, what are the adrenals? They're connected to the kidneys. What do kidneys do? They filter and flow. So if you're getting a build up there, there's no flow. So something is not flowing. And so the to me, the remedy in that is, again, looking at why the joy is not just simply flowing from you and through you. It should leave no damage at all. It should actually be, joy is the highest healing elixir I know of.
Yeah, no, they weren't saying it causes damage, but just that in order to get to that place, you have to have a strong...
And I get what you're saying, and certainly just staying at that for a long time can be just as exhausting.
Yeah,
for sure, because usually we go up and we come down.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, that's one thing that just came to mind. It's that the frequency, if it gets really high, I think you do have to have a strong body to hold it. I mean, I've seen people who do the masters, you know, they can just direct energy, and it's just... you've got to have, you have to be able to ground the energy, and you see a lot of mediums and stuff, they're often bigger built. I think it's because naturally they're more grounded, maybe, to hold that frequency.
I think so, and I think if you're running lots of high energy, you've got to build up your tolerance for being able to do it, because for sure, you know, you run, I know sometimes in pulse, you know, we connect into something quite high, and by the morning I feel like I'm in detox. Got a bit of a headache. It's like, oh, that's an energy headache, because something more than what I was used to running has come through, and you can feel that, oh, it's kind of worked out the energetic system somewhat. And I guess, you know, in that way we build up a strength. You know, we move from our copper wiring up to optic fiber, ideally. And
well,
so
that's why they were saying, that's why we meditate and we do the practices to build that muscle. It's a bit like going to the gym. You can't go and, you know, carry a massive weight if you haven't built up. Well, it's just like being a channel for and a bridge for energy.
Yes.
You've got to build that muscle, and it's got to be a daily practice. You can't go from, well, there are some people can, I'm sure, but most of
No, I agree with what you're saying, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're quite right that this is a muscle that we build, and the more we do it, the more ease we get in flowing it.
It's nearly six, so if we want to...
I'm only halfway through.
Finish before it's dark, maybe we might want to move along.
Just a bit longer. Okay. All right, so let's moving on to the next one. Oh, we haven't done the hot side of it. And so, again, the hot side of it is a bit similar, really, to destruction. You want to be able to... you need to be able to have a way of release. So you need to be able to release that steam or get it to work for you. This is like, okay, you've got a bit of a steam up, you know, direct it into something that you can use it with. So chopping the wood or whatever. So, you know, direct the passion of it. Again, like the other one, so you've got release, you've got put it to work. And in like some of these other ones with the flood, you know, you can kind of distract it or that, but you basically it's a bit like the release valve on the old pressure cookers, you know, you've got to let a bit of steam off, or you're finding a way and movement. But again, that's type of a release. So finding a way to move it and let it go. All right, moving down to the next one, which is really looking at water's capacity to hold. So here we're talking about the fact that it's very receptive. You know, it can hold memory programs. You know, it can also hold, you know, as a solution for things that can dissolve. You know, it can hold all kinds of different things within it. On the other side of hold, so ideally in what it holds, it's holding it, but it's moving. So this is kind of, it's a hold, but it's a moving hold. Where this becomes less useful is where we, again, get stuck, but usually because we're holding something that's old. So we're not holding something that is coming in and moving and refreshing, which is the nature of water. But the idea of hold also, you know, a lack of holding. So, what would you say that? Well, I guess it was going lack.
Draining away.
So, yeah, so it's kind of just where you really can't hold anything. Everything just kind of dissipates and it just, there's no sense of being able to feel that you're building something, or, you know, it just, like, everything just seems to just, you know, fall away all the time. So you've got those kind of two things there. On the other side of here is where it's too much holding. So it's like, okay, so there's too much, you know, this is where, you know, people who are highly empathic often have issues because they just pick up everything. And it's like an over-holding or an over-receptivity. So, you know, where there's too much, then, you know, what you're needing here, you're needing a filter, better filtering of what you will have and what you won't have. Sometimes we call these standards.
Healthy boundaries.
Boundaries is another thing. They're all type of the same thing. So
I can feel people's energy more. So if someone is quite low, I can actually feel it further away. I even do a movement sometimes, really.
The other thing within this is if you cannot not be affected, do not deal. In other words, move away.
Yeah.
If you can't be not affected, it's best not to be there.
Yeah.
So step away until either you can try it again sometime later when you've done some more work and go, okay, am I as affected now? And it's like, okay, I'm not as affected, so I'm definitely getting there, but then I move away. So you don't keep yourself in a place where you're getting, you know, overwhelmed with energy. The smartest thing is to recognize your state and remove yourself. Go and have those 10 deep breaths outside or whatever it is you need to rebalance. But filtering, you know.
But that's the art, isn't it, to actually know that you in this space where it's not healthy for you.
That's right. So you need a level of self-awareness. And this is the practice to actually develop. And that the little practice that we did right at the beginning today, which for many years I just did as a training each morning, when first thing in the morning, which was our old teacher used to call it the little quangra right there. Call it the apple and pears process. But basically each morning, get out of bed, you know, always go to the loo. And as soon as I sit on the loo, it's like, what state is my body? And I could give myself anything I want, you know, 1 out of 10, or I could just describe it. Oh, it's, you know, feeling a bit sluggish or whatever. How is it on my emotions? My emotions are, okay, my emotions are kind of, oh yeah, they're kind of steady. Then how is my mind? Oh, my mind's already starting to chatter a bit, you know. And so it's just a very quick check-in. It takes less than a minute. But the benefit of it is that by doing it regularly, it sets up a self-monitoring of what is the state that I'm in. And what happens is because you're constantly asking yourself these check-ins, whenever the state of your body, your emotions, or your mind changes, you start to get a feedback loop and you start to get more noticing when, oh, my emotions have, you know, kicked up, you know, or, you know, the mind's gone here, or because you've developed a practice, which basically is just a practice of self-inquiry. And like any practice, if you keep doing it, it actually starts to become automatic. And so the benefit of it is that after a while, all of those systems just immediately tell you, because they think you want to know, because you're always asking them how they are. And so you get this whole feedback loop. But this is, it's a great practice for developing self-awareness that's very simple. Again, it's like anything's practice. It's, if you do it regularly, you will build quicker self-inquiry in that way. And in which case, you'll notice it when something's gone down.
You can print off a sheet. You can get it on the internet somewhere. It's just an A4 and it's got all the different faces with all the different feelings and emotions. So that when you, and I used to have it on the back of the toilet door, and so that the kids would look at it and go, oh yeah, that's what I, you know, so you start to, and there's heaps of them on the internet. It's a good thing.
That's a great idea.
Put it on the back of the toilet door.
Yeah, and great and for the kids.
And it gives you many different options than what you would probably think about in that moment, you know, sluggish or...
Yeah.
Shitty or, you know, different words to identify.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Fabulous. Okay, old stuck in, old energy and incapacity to hold. So, you know, for old energy, you know, you, again, you're looking at your release, which tends to be looking at your let go practices. And what is the best let go practice ever?
Let go.
Forgiveness.
Oh.
I was dodging that one. I'm going straight to God.
There's a really nice video by Aaron Atkin, and he talks about forgiveness and the open heart chakra, and how the more your heart is open, and the more you forgive, the more actually you have psychic abilities and everything. Like you, that's part of the whole raising your vibration, you know.
Forgiveness is, you know, absolutely, you know, it's the practice for the time that we're in, for sure. It is, has so much power to it. It's such a grace kind of energy. And the beauty of the whole pono is, you know, it has the awareness, the I'm sorry is the awareness. The please forgive me is the action of the free will that says I choose to let this go. The gratitude of is that I have learnt what I needed to learn, so I'm grateful now. And of course, the I love you is the reconnection, because usually what has traumatized us has separated us from something. So we need to reconnect, and love is the glue. And so this is the magic of Ho'oponopono. And why it works incredibly. You know, so many case studies and amazing things. It's really worth looking at if you haven't looked at it. The ability also to reframe, so particularly old things, often they're stuck because we see them in a particular way. Being able to look at them again and see them in a new way, reframing stuff, is also a great way of moving old stuff that is held there to get it to where it's, you know, updated ourselves in many ways. Okay, and then just one last one that I want to do, which is, you know, the thing that, you know, water is life, water is growth.
I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
What's lack of holding then?
So lack of holding. So when things actually just, I'm trying to think of an example of this.
Is it not being able to feel?
It's kind of like that. It's just like everything just keeps feels like it's slipping away in some ways. It's just like
you can't start this and then it
just disperses. You know, you feel very dispersed. You feel very, it's just all, you can't feel like you're achieving anything. You can't hold it. You can't feel like you're moving in a flow towards something. It's just like there is a sense of,
you can't stick with it.
Yeah.
Weakness. Been there.
Yeah. And
discombobulation.
No,
not even that.
Just nothing.
Yeah, of nothingness. So can you think of, you know, the strategies that would help you actually to anchor things? So to hold things could be like journaling. Yeah. Because in some ways, where you can't hold the thought or the thing, then it's going to dissipate, then write. You can catch it, you can write it, you can record it, you can, again, be creative with it in some way to where you can bring it into the matter, where in essence you want to be able to anchor it
journal,
somewhere. Yeah.
Writing whatever comes.
Yeah. So any kind of process that helps you to anchor, to hold, it's like putting the peg in the sand in some ways, so that you've got something that you can keep going back to and building from and get this sense of being able to move forward.
And I just wanted, this might help other people, is that I was taught it was very bad to feel certain emotions. So it was bad to be angry, especially. And so if I felt angry straight away, I'd either change it into something more acceptable, like you're a total loser, Helen, and hating on myself, or I would just disappear it. But it wouldn't go away.
No.
But, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very good at that. Didn't even know I was doing it.
Yeah. So, again, it's you know, this is brings us to, you know, today, how do we, you know, teach our children healthy expression? Because it's anger's, emotions are not an issue in themselves. It's how we use them, whether we be destructive with them. Like as we were saying, you know, anger can be fine. It can be a potent passion if you can turn it towards something, you know, even if it's just chopping wood, you know, it lets it through. It gives it an action that's not hurting you or others. It's only when we inflict it in ways that are, it's how we use it. It's not the emotion in itself.
My son, he goes to martial arts twice a week, and he's so much happier when he does that.
Yeah.
Like, I think especially, we all need movement, but especially men and boys,
yeah.
They're having more energy.
Yes, to give them you know, a healthy expression, because often softer or other expressions, more feminine expressions, they don't often get as much use of, and so having other ways to actually move it is useful, and certainly moving the body is a great one. Okay, and this one of yes, life and growth, because, you know, a bit before we were talking about water is life, you know, when things become dry, you know, or there is, it can lead to, you know, the death of things. And on the other side, they can get so swollen that they burst. So again, not contained, it becomes an unusable force because it just goes everywhere. And again, instead of channeling that passion into something, again, there's no useful result because it just goes bleh. And so this whole thing with life within water, where there's lack of life, there things are drying up because there is no this energy, then, you know, you need to feed it. And, you know, ideally you need to feed it with love, nurture, self-care.
Subliminals are meant to be amazing. I've been listening to them. So it's music, like meditation, mm-hmm. but underneath, it meant to go into your subconscious with certain information, whatever you... and I've been actually doing that for a few months now. I think it's helping.
Interesting. Well, because in essence, you know, what you're doing is you're programming the waters.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're programming the waters of your being, and there's lots of ways of doing this. We're going to kind of just do it very quickly in something else. On the other side, where, you know, again, where it's swollen, where it's, you know, looking to burst, again, similar kind of things. You need to offload some of the energy, having some self-awareness on understanding why this is happening. So, you know, taking it into reasoning on, you know, journaling it, getting some sense of it, being able to perceive it, or finding other ways to use it and move it, are all going to be helpful. And of course, where you are unsure, ask. Either ask for help from other people that you know, ask for divine intervention. Always ask if you are unsure, because the answers are everywhere and often within you. And so even asking yourself and writing the thing of, you know, the what we talked about last time, which was the five levels of why, you know, write down what is the issue and then go, why is this happening? And then just keep asking you five levels of, when you write that answer, you go, well, why is that so? And then you write another answer, you go, well, why is that so? And you just keep going to get underneath things. And this is a very good journaling process for finding your way through. Okay.